Turn with me to your Bibles to Matthew 20, and we're going to be 29 through 33 is where we're going to spend a lot of our time, but we're also going to spend some time in Hebrews this morning. When you think of the word faith, what do you think of? Maybe you don't think about the word faith. Anybody? When you think of the word faith, what do you think of? Say that again. Unproven belief, okay? Unproven belief. Something is faith is something you believe in you can't see, okay? I like these answers. Do you think about faith much? No, maybe not. But Webster's defines faith like this. A strong belief or trust in someone or something. Belief in the existence of God. Strong religious feelings or belief. Or a system of religious belief. Does anybody know God's definition of faith? Yes, we're going to get to that verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's not what I'm looking for, but that is right on. Yes, and you would have been brought up where you memorized that from King James, right? That's exactly what I said when growing up. That was the verse. Yep, this is the definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now I had to go back and go, what is substance? So we go to the New Translation. If you go to a newer translation like NIV or NLT, it would say faith is the confidence of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen, the unseen things. So that's God's definition. So when you look at your life and you think about faith in your life, is that how you really live your life with faith? Do you live your life? Do I live my life? I've asked myself this many questions reading this over and over this week. Do I live my life with a confidence? Do we live our life with the confidence in what God says in His Word? Tying those all together, and you know, God puts a tremendous importance on faith. Ken said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. In Matthew 9, 27 to 31, there's a similar story of this story here in Matthew 20. And I'm going to read this story real quick. It's probably going to be up on the screen behind you there. I don't know that these two are the same story, and Matthew is rewriting them a second time, trying to get it really hammered this home. But I believe these are two separate instances because of where they take place at. It says, after Jesus left the girl's home, two blind men followed along behind him, shouting, Son of David, have mercy on us. And they went right into the house where he was staying. So you got to get this picture. In Matthew 9 here, he is saying that these two men went right into the house where Jesus was staying. They didn't stand on the outside of the door. They went right on in through the door. And Jesus asked them a very simple question. Do you believe I can make you see? And they said, yes, Lord. They told him, we do. He touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. Then their eyes were opened and they could see. Jesus then sternly warns them, don't tell anyone about this. Why do you think Jesus said, be quiet? I mean, that's kind of odd. It's the opposite, right? When something great happens, you don't be quiet about it. You go around doing something, right? You tell all your friends, your neighbors, and right? You catch a big fish. If you're a fisherman, you catch a monstrous fish, do you quiet about that? The only way you're quiet about it is if you don't want anybody to know about your fishing spot. Otherwise, you're telling the story, and it gets bigger and bigger as you go along, right? It may have been this big a fish, but it ends up being, you're not quiet. But Jesus tells them to be quiet. But what did they do? They didn't listen to Jesus. They went all around the region, all over, spreading his fame. That's why I think these two stories aren't the same. You flip over to the stories that we were at. in today's passage here in Matthew 20, where we're going through, you have these two men. And I would like us to look at this story from the eyes of us today, as if we were there, if we're the great crowd. All right? It says this in Matthew 20, 29, and Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho. A large crowd followed behind them. So I want us to be the large crowd. All right, so you and I were following Jesus. We're heading from Jericho to Jerusalem, which is where Jesus is headed. And you're going down this road. Now, I know what it sounds like in the multipurpose room out here when we're eating. And if you could picture this great crowd, do you think they were walking along as Jesus is walking along and not saying anything? No, I mean, when we're out here eating and having fellowship with one another, we're all walking together, we're talking, right? There's Jesus and his disciples and this great crowd following him. And we're talking back and forth. And all of a sudden, there's two blind men sitting beside the side of the road. So you got these two men. I'm only one person here, so if I had another volunteer, we'd sit here beside the side of the road. But we're sitting here side the road, and we're blind, and we can't see anything. But we hear this great crowd coming, and we find out it's Jesus. We've never seen Jesus. Two blind men sitting here. We've never seen Jesus. But they know Jesus is coming. And they hear about it. Do you think they just sat there? If you heard Jesus was coming, do you think he would just sit there? Oh, but he is coming someday. Sometimes we in the crowd just sit by and don't do anything. He is coming someday. So these two men sitting here, they're blind. You got to imagine. I don't know if they went blind from their birth. The Bible doesn't tell us. If they were blind from the moment they were born, or if they were blinded somewhere along the period of time in their life. But they became blind somewhere. And their blindness prevented them from seeing Jesus. And they didn't just sit there. They started shouting, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Over and over and over again, they're out there screaming this. The crowd gets closer and closer to them. And, well, let's just stop back for a minute. We're the crowd. And we hear people crying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." What should God be going through our minds? Got to remember, this is not church. We're not in church. We're on a highway. We're on a city. We're on a city road. You have to picture a group of people who may have been following Jesus, but not truly his followers. They were a crowd of people that would come joining themselves upon any great and mighty thing that happened. And the reason I say this, because these men were crying out for help. They had enough faith to open their mouths and cry out to this man Jesus whom we've heard about but have never seen. And the crowd didn't just stand by, did they? They told him to shut up. They said, "Be quiet." They yelled at him. "Hold your peace," some translations say. "Don't say a word. Sit there and be the blind people that you're supposed to be." You know, so often when we as followers of Jesus start to cry out in faith sometimes, you get something that God lays it on your heart, or you get excited about something and you cry out to God and you're pouring your heart out in faith, and you may tell your family member or your brother or sister in Christ, or you just pour your heart out. Well, sometimes you don't get the, hey man, that's awesome. Way to go. Let's cry out to God together. Sometimes you get the, why are you a Christian? Why are you doing that? Anybody have family members that have done that to you? They resist. And of course, then that causes us to sit back and say, wow, maybe I misread. Maybe I'm not listening. Maybe I'm not hearing God right. Or maybe my faith isn't as strong as it should be. If these two men gave in to those crowd of people, the followers of Jesus, as the crowd that was following him, if they would have gave in to him, we wouldn't have the story that we have today. We would have heard him say, yep, they shut up and they sat there by the wayside and said, you know what? Not listening to them. If they would have done that, those two men would have been blind and stayed blind. But they didn't do that. These men had such faith that they cried out even louder. And if I was to get really loud in here, I don't know what it would do to our sound system, but I can just picture in the crowd of people when these men tell them, shut up, be quiet, don't say a word. Do you know who you're talking to? This is Jesus of Nazareth, man. You have no place talking to him. Whatever was going on. They didn't do that, though. They were persistent in their faith, and they cried out even louder. It says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. And I can begin hearing them just over and over again, crying louder and louder, getting to the point where their voice is heard above the crowd. And you know, in our world today, blindness is very real. Did I give you 2 Corinthians 4:4? This is what it says. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is in the exact likeness of God. So we have here in Corinthians, Paul is writing to the Corinthians church and is telling them that Satan has blinded the eyes of this world. And it's not that they're blinded to us, the crowd. It's blinded to the gospel, to the good news. So next Sunday, we're going to have hopefully some community people who come here to church or come here to the community barbecue event who might be this description. Followers of Jesus in this group, obviously some of them were blinded. So that gives me an impression that even within God's body or in his church or those who follow Jesus, we can have some blindness. We can have some blindness in our lives. This doesn't mean that it's those on the outside. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He has compassion on them. He hears them. Some translations use the word compassion, which if you look it up, means that Jesus, it was moved. Compassion and love is donated as coming from the bowels or down deep within you. So the description is that Jesus heard these men crying out and was moved with compassion such inside of him that it spurred him to do something. So think about that for a minute as we go on. Before we go on here, I want to read to you something about faith within the church. As I mentioned that here, a pastor once said this about faith within the church or about those who might say they're followers of Jesus and have that blindness and be somewhat blind. We are used to hearing the futility. We are so used to hearing about failures. Anybody here in church ever hear about your failures? Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's as a result of us as brothers and sisters who are told to love one another. We hear about it. Sometimes we know of our own failures, which I know about my own failures. I know where I'm weak at. So we get to the point where we don't believe in victory anymore. We don't believe that we can have the victory over something. And in thence, he says, the church has more faith in the power of Satan over our life than we do in the power of Jesus Christ to deliver us of our life. I hope that us here at Maranatha, the small part of God's overall bigger body, don't live with a faith that there's power in Satan. Because my Jesus, the Bible that tells me, my Jesus says that he defeated death. He defeated him. And he ain't no anybody to serve. So I don't know about you, but that's how I feel about it. But at times in our life, we may live as if Satan has the power over us. As if Jesus really didn't do those things. Blindness. Are we blind like these men? Jesus then goes and hears, and he has that compassion. So it leads them to walk over to the two men. And as he says, and he asks them a very simple question. And this is a question at the end of the service I want you to ask Jesus yourself. He asks this question. What do you want me to do for you? It's a very simple question, right? These two blind men crying out, they're blind. The crowds. And Jesus asked them. Now, I think Jesus could have seen, maybe not, that these men were blind. Jesus just didn't ask them, just didn't walk over and touch them and heal them. It says that he asked them a question. Suppose these men didn't want to be freed from their blindness. Suppose these men wanted something else. But Jesus asked them a question, and he asked that same question of us today. What do you want me to do for you? They said, Lord, we want to see. And Jesus felt sorry for them, and he touched their eyes. And then they followed him. They joined themselves to the crowd. Now, I didn't hear nobody afterwards in that crowd, in the story here. We didn't hear the crowd saying, you can't follow us along with Jesus. I wonder what it was really like. I wonder if the crowd went and put their arms around them and started, now that you're like us, you can see. I don't know. We don't have that part of the story. Matthew doesn't tell us that. But I want you to see something here, that when God responds to our faith and our trust in him, it leads to an action. And that action is obedience or following. Hebrews 11:6, as Ken said, says that for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who comes to God must first believe that he is. Okay, now I'm quoting King James, the old version. In the King James, it says he must first believe that he is. He is. Definition of Yahweh. He is. He is Almighty. He is God. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. These two men exercised this. They exercised it in that they were going to follow him. They had no knowledge of God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. They had to take a step of faith. They couldn't see. They were blind. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the confidence in things unseen. God put such a high emphasis on our faith. It is so important in our lives that if you go to the end of Hebrews 11, and those of you who are in Creation to Christ class, we talked about this verse, which I found it very interesting that God laid on my heart on Sunday to talk about this. But it says in the end of Hebrews 11:39-40, and I want us to look at this, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I mean, a scholar of the Bible. So my interpretation of this may be totally wrong. But if it's right, it sent chills up and down my spine. So correct me if I'm wrong, if you're here and you have a deeper understanding of God's word than I do. So I don't want to misinterpret this. So I'm letting you know ahead of time that one of my weaknesses is not scholarly knowledge of the Bible. All these people, speaking of the list that is read off in Hebrews here, Noah, Moses, Abraham, Enoch, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. What was the promise? Jesus, right, the deliverer. He hadn't come in their time. So the promise was Jesus. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. That's giving me an indication there that there's, the way I'm reading that, is that there has to be, in order for those who have gone on before us, we have a connection with them. They have a connection with us, and they can't reach perfection until we have reached perfection. Kind of tied together. Now again, I'm saying, this is just... So that basically means, and in verse 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, it says this. You can put that up there. Therefore, which goes back to the verses beforehand, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set. So if I take a look at that, then it's, as I'm seeing there, I want you to picture, you got Abraham, you got Noah, you got Moses, you got Enoch, you got Hannah, who prayed for a son. You got all these great men and women of faith in the Old Testament, and all the martyrs who have gone on before us, who said, you know what, I'm willing to lay down my life for Jesus. They exemplified great faith. All of them are surrounding us right now, cheering us on. I didn't get any amens or hallelujahs, so maybe that's a false interpretation of the scripture. But that's how I see it. I see all these people that have gone on before us, surrounding us, they're saying, hold on to your faith. Stay true to God. Stay true to Him. Don't worry about what's going on outside of you. And even when you go through your sin or your trials, they're sitting there cheering you on. Paul doesn't say there in Hebrews that he's saying, let us strip off every weight. He doesn't stop. He tells us and he gives us some step by steps. He says, lay aside all that stuff that so easily sets you off track. If you know in my own life, it is the easy, the little slip up sins that just offset me. The slow fade song, you know, it's one little step, two little steps, and then you're off. And you quickly, your faith is diminished. Then you get attacked. We talked a couple weeks ago, and some of you asked me to go back to that sermon on the soul where you get tormented. And that's what happens sometimes with our life. When our faith is diminished, Satan comes in and he begins to torment you. Oh, you're not really a Christian. You can't really be a follower of Jesus. Look what you did. You mess up. That's not what he's saying here. And there's a crowd of witnesses that are waiting because they can't reach perfection until we are a part of that. Until the end, when Jesus calls us all home, and we're all standing before Him up there. So how does all this is good stuff, I'm telling you. So how does all this come about? Well, first of all, we need to recognize that there may be blindness in our life. We can be blind. And that there's a lot of people who are blind. So we must recognize that. We must say, hey, I might have a blindness in this area. I may be blind to the fact that there is a huge war going on. I may be blind to the fact that we may have some blindness in our eyes. In Matthew earlier on, we talked about if you have something in your eye that doesn't allow you to see, In other words, you look at somebody else, if you have a mote in your eye, a beam, cast it out before you go and criticize one of your brothers or talk to them about something, because you may have something. Blindness sets in. As I was preparing this, I remembered, it's been several years ago. How many of you remember talking about the eyes and all the different things in the Bible that talks about myopia, comparing our actual physical eyes, what we deal with, cataracts, and how those are tied to our life? Did anybody remember that? It was a long time ago. But I was remembering that, and I'm like, you know, there are things in our life that create blindness, like where we cannot see. Our spiritual vision gets blindsided. We put God in such a small box and say, you can only work in here because of our blindness. No. Not the God I serve. He's able. And I believe that he's able to do what he says he will do. These two men had faith only in the things that they heard. They heard about it, but that moved them to action. In Hebrews 12, verse 2 and 3, I didn't give them verse 3 and 4, it says this: we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Now, going back to my younger days, we would have said, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It means he started our faith and he's going to finish it. We have to first recognize that we're blind. And we have to cry out in faith, as these two men did, recognizing that there is power in the name of Jesus, and that the cry of our faith can bring us healing. That can bring others healing. So a question that I wrote down in here, sometimes that's, you write these questions out and you're like, well, do you read them off or you just say them? So I'm going to ask the question. Church, are we comfortable just to sit back and just hear about Jesus? The crowd heard about Jesus and they did something. They got in line behind him. But these two men just didn't hear about Jesus. They moved to action. They moved to an action of stepping out in faith. The step of faith and crying out to Jesus brings healing in any area of our life. I don't care what you struggle with. I don't care if it's a physical ailment or whatever. Jesus can heal that. Jesus can bring healing to your life, whether it's physical, spiritual, or emotional. He can do it. The question is, are you going to step out in faith? Are you going to cry out to him in faith as these two men? Oswald Chambers. Anybody know Oswald Chambers? I was going to bring that right or bring his name up, but then I got thinking, you know, I don't know if very many people recognize or know who Oswald Chambers is. He's not a name that's popular used today. But he says this. He was a great man of faith, and he says this about obedience or stepping out and following Jesus. When obedience is in the ascendant. Now, anybody know what ascendant is? I did not know what ascendant was. That is not a word used in our world today. So I had to look it up. What's in the ascendant? It means something that is in power or in great influence. So what Oswald Chambers is saying, when obedience is in the ascendant, or when obedience is in the power of our lives, God will tax the remotest star and the last grain of sand to assist you with all his mighty power. So church, it's not just about saying, well, I have faith in Jesus. I believe, and at one time I stepped out in faith and said, yep, Jesus is my Savior, and I have faith that Jesus went to the cross and he died on the cross for my sins. It's not just that. Faith in stepping out in Jesus leads us to obedience, to following him, to taking this book that he gave us and saying, okay, how do I live my life? How do I step out? How do I live out the life of faith through obedience to him? And when that is in charge of our life, God answers. Now, Oswald Chambers is not one of the 66 authors of this, or writers of this book. So again, that's his interpretation of how God responds, okay? So don't hold that as the ultimate authority. It is something that gives us a picture, though, of how God wants us to live a life of faith for Him. So let me ask you, because as I was reading this, I'm like, you know, sometimes my life is not always a life of obedience. I don't know where you're at in your walk with the Lord. I don't know if you're sitting there at this time saying, well, I'm obedient to God. I do all the right things. I don't know. I don't know what's going on inside your heart or your soul this morning. But I do know this for myself, that when I read something in Scripture and it says to do it and I don't do it, I'm being disobedient. And then I might want to stand up and say, oh, I've got faith. And God says, I can't do it because you're being disobedient. And that hurts me. That hurts me deep inside, knowing that I'm supposed to do something, I disobey, but God is so gracious. He's so loving. He's so kind. He's so merciful. He will forgive me. And He will strengthen me, because the Bible says that He is the author and finisher of my faith. He's the same for you today. He is the author and finisher of your faith. So you may be sitting here saying, well, yes, I'm in the same boat. And I really want us to get a picture of what this little part of God's body could be like if we were to operate out of this type of faith. If we were to be like the blind men, I'm not saying be reckless. I'm not saying be way out there on left field, but maybe that's what we need to do in order to see God bring glory to His name through us. Maybe we need to be a little bit like the blind men, crying out like they did. And when the world around us says, you guys are nuts, we cry all the louder. Can you picture what church like that look like? We've had that throughout our history as a church. There's been times where there's been things that just spurred us on and we've moved out of faith. And God has come through for us. Then there's times where we may not have moved forward like we should have. The challenge for me this morning is that there is power in the name of Jesus. And we cry out to Him in faith. And that faith leads us to obedience, an action step. Stepping forward and saying, I'm going to follow you, Lord, no matter what. Now, apply this to our world around us today. Jesus said this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love me. Right? Is that what He said? Sure about that? I almost put this phrase in here. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love me and keep my commandments. Is that what He said? No, Jesus said this. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. If the church in America and the church around the world would do a little bit more loving one another, we might not have some of the stuff that's going on in our world and our society today. In church, next Sunday, I'm hoping that we have an opportunity to love our neighbors as we love each other. I'm hoping that they'll connect. I'm hoping that's the start of something bigger than just having a barbecue. or having, yes, I know this pain's going on over here. I'm hoping that that has the opportunity for us to act on our faith and be obedient to the call that God called us to, and that is to tell and make disciples. Worship team, come on up. I don't think there's anything else that God really wants me to say other than this as they're coming. So I watch some of you out here. You know, it's really hard to read facial expressions. And one of the things in sales, you're told to watch people's eyes and learn how they move them one way or the other, or when you're talking to them, so that you know exactly what's going on inside their mind. You ever do that? And so all I can say is that I'm sensing here this morning that some of you, and myself included with you, have been battling this thing of faith. This past week, I had several employees coming into my office and talking with me about things in their own life that they were wrestling with and struggling with. And some of them had to do with faith. Faith in what they believed in. And I know for me, there's sometimes God opens up a blind spot and says, you know what, Matt, you didn't do this, and you know the Bible says you need to do it, and yet you want me to act on your faith. So if you're here this morning, and if you got a prayer request, you know how it is. You can come forward, or you can pray, or the worship team's going to lead us. I'm going to pray here in a minute, but Jesus is asking that same question that he asked to those two blind men. What do you want me to do for you? That question is as relevant today as any time in our history. This is just as relevant now as it was back then. What do you want me to do for you? So if you're struggling under some sort of sin that you just can't seem to get the victory over, I'm here to tell you, Jesus paid the price on that Calvary, and he can take it away from you. Maybe you're struggling with what it really means to be obedient to Jesus and just step out. Well, you can come and lay that at the altar. Just come and ask Jesus. Tell him what you want him to do for you. Father, you said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. That is the moment that you are the author of faith in our life, when we listen. God, you don't want us to stop there. You want us to step out. You want us to become someone who totally trusts, totally believes in you. Not just for the big things in life, but also for the little. Father, I'm just sensing right now that there's someone in here that has been wrestling with this very thought of faith. They've been doubting that they even know you. They've been doubting their commitment to following you because they just can't get over something. So, Father, I'm asking that you would speak to their heart this morning. Send them your love. Touch them just as you touched the eyes of the two blind men. God, I'm also going to bring up this weekend, the Bible school and the community outreach barbecue. Holy Spirit, would you just breathe and blow through this community? Would you give us faith as a church to step out in obedience to being disciples? Holy Spirit, just come. Have your way in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.